Well, good morning and blessings to you all on this typical January morning here in Northeast Ohio. Nothing that we're not used to, right? Bring on the cloudiness and the fog and whatever. Bring it on. Bring it on. As we begin this morning, I invite you to pray along with me. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. So shall I turn to you. Amen. As David mentioned during the welcome, these first couple weeks here in January are going to be kind of revision, reminder, remembrance type of lessons where we center our focus on our mission and our vision and some of the direction with which that goes here in our body at Church in the Falls. Last week, we briefly journeyed through the vision here at CITF, and that is to know the Lord Jesus and to make Him known. Very simple, very centered, very focused. That is our vision here, to know the Lord Jesus and to make Him known. So every ministry, every class, every prayer, every effort, everything that we kind of focus and center on has to do with this statement. And one of the big kind of statements that I hope made sense to everybody in passages like John chapter 10 and verse 30 kind of show it, where Jesus says, "I and the Father in one," includes this massive statement. To know God is to know Jesus, and to know Jesus is to know God. And as a follower of Jesus, we need to reach a point to where we are ready and willing to sink our feet into that statement and not be ashamed of it. To know Jesus is to know God, and to know God is to know Jesus. It's not knowing so much that Jesus is a way, right? I mean, we live in a pluralistic society where you're accepted if you say that, well, Jesus is just one way. It's not about acceptance. It's not about being relevant. It's not about being a jerk. It's not about being a holier-than-thou, self-righteous type of individual. But it's unashamedly sinking our feet into the rock that is Jesus Christ and saying He is the way, the truth, and the life. To know God is to know Jesus, and to know Jesus is to know God. So very, very quickly, I'm going to highlight just some of the stuff that we talked about last week. I offered five type of directions that you weren't necessarily meant to go and do, but maybe these were just triggers for you to think about ways in which you may come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him known in 2022. And the five will be on the screen. The first one is commit 2022 to living in the Gospels. And then commit 2023 to living in the Gospels. And then commit 2024 to living in the Gospels. This isn't just a specific year thing. This is I am annually going to live into and live out from the Gospels. Pray Ephesians 1:17. And the passage should be the next slide here. Ephesians 1:17. Oops, am I on the wrong one, Kathleen? Already? No, there we go. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that, what, church? May know Him better. Pray this. Like, have this be a reminder that you daily or weekly or monthly or whatever it is, this becomes a part of your language as you pray to God. God, I want to know Jesus better. And in order for that to happen, I cannot do it on my own. I need your spirit that will give me wisdom and revelation so that I may know Him better. A third one is set your minds on things above. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We have spent an awful lot of time focusing in on earthly things. And it's not as if those earthly things do not matter, But when they consume us, that's the first thing we think about in the morning, and it's the last thing we think about before bed. And if we were to count the many times that we thought about those earthly things throughout the day, we would be overwhelmed. We've spent our focus has been just highlighted on earthly things way too much. And again, there are a lot of earthly things that matter. Don't hear me say that they don't. But my goodness, where has our attention been focused on the last 18, 20 months? Paul here is directing us to set our hearts, to set our minds on something better. For you died. For you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And this kind of set your mind, set your heart is connected to the fourth one that I offered last week. And that is read books. If you're not much of a reader, listen to audiobooks. Listen to podcasts. Find apps because there are a ton of them. They're going to help you set your heart and set your minds on things above. They are everywhere. If you have any questions or need any insight, need any direction, grab me, grab David, grab one of our shepherds, grab somebody that you know and say, hey, I want to focus in on something good in 2022. What is something you may suggest? And we'll give you 20 things because there are that many. There's so many out there for you to focus on and to help grow and to help build your faith. And the fifth one is commit to small groups. Plural. Small groups. We're going to be offering a lot of them. There's going to be a lot of them going on. Some of our small groups started this morning with our adult classes. We've got three of them. We're doing that intentionally to draw in so people can get to know one another. There's more time for conversation. People can hear one another other than just a presenter giving a lesson in our Bible classes. We're doing this intentionally to help everybody get to know each other. Small groups on Sunday morning. Other small groups are going to start to be unfolded here in the upcoming weeks. One of the other passages that we focused on last week was Ezekiel 36, verses 22 through 27. And within that section that we read, there are four promises. Promise of removal, promise of replacement, promise of redirection, and promise of recommission. Within these promises, within this pursuit of knowing the Lord Jesus and making Him known, we're going to live in seasons and days and weeks and months where all four of these are going to take place. Where you're going to ask God, I need you to remove something. And God said, okay, I will, but I'm going to supply something else in there. I'm going to replace it with something else. God, I need you to redirect me as I go about my day to day, making the Lord Jesus Christ known. God says, you got it. So I'm going to recommission you. I'm going to open your eyes and your heart so that you see your neighbors and your coworkers and those whom you just daily are involved with. You're going to see them differently. I am going to redirect you so that you can be recommissioned out in the world. And then we briefly looked at five things that this may look like. And again, these aren't for you to take and go and do. Some of them you may want to go and do. But at least open up your mind and allow the opportunity for you to think through, okay, what can I do to know the Lord Jesus better? And what can I do to make Him known in the places and with the people that God has placed me? The first one is a ministry direction. It's not a new ministry. It's a culture and ministry direction that we are slowly gearing towards here at church. And it's called Faith at Home, where all of our classes, where even sometimes strategic and specific sermons, where the direction of where we're going is to help faith be back in the household, and faith building and faith journeying and faith growing takes place in the house. Not just to try and set it up here in these walls for an hour or hour and a half, one day a week. We are starting and we have been seeing the fruit of that approach, and it's not working. So what we're going to try to do is help faith go back into the home where the building and where the structure and where everything can take place there. And it's not just moms and dads with their kids. But it's nieces and nephews and it's aunts and it's uncles and it's grandma and it's grandpa. And it's you investing in the kid beside you who may not have a family that goes to church. But you're going to show that kid the love of Jesus because you are embodying faith at home in your neighborhoods. This makes sense. But we're trying to direct and go towards. The second one is honest prayer about fruit of the Spirit in your life. To make an honest reflection of where am I seeing in my life the fruit of the Spirit comes from God. Where is it at? And God, if I'm not seeing it, I need your help and to be able to live into it and to live out from it. So you begin praying through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. And maybe Galatians 5 isn't for you this year. Maybe you need something else. Maybe you need an honest prayer for reflection out of Colossians 3 verses 5 through 9. And again, I give you these passages not for us to spend time on in here, but for you at today, tonight, tomorrow to read and to reflect on. And say, all right, God, I see this list that Paul is giving here about what I need to get rid of or what I need to put to death. Which one of these, or do I need you to kill all of these in my life so that I can reflect Jesus better? And the fourth one, the not quote by given by Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. Again, that's given to Francis. Have no proof that said it, and it really doesn't matter. But we are seeing the fruit of that quote. And it's not good. Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. We're as a church here in America, for the most part, we're not doing either. So what does it look like for me to proclaim Jesus in my day-to-day? Can I use words? How can I use words? Can I use cards? Can I use deeds? What approach am I taking that this becomes reality for me? We need to start speaking and living out our faith that Jesus is Lord and that He is the single source of true hope in the world. I heard an awful lot of amens during Mike's communion, and I loved it because that song is powerful and it's beautiful and it draws you in how deep the Father's love. The song that we just sang, that the blood of Jesus is my righteousness and my righteousness alone. There's nothing else. It's Jesus's blood. Period. We have to come back to a place where we're not ashamed or afraid to say that. We have to come back to that point. 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what, church? The hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect. This is an apologetics verse. This is like apologetics 101. We're never going to out-argue somebody. That's not going to win anybody over to the love and grace and mercy of Jesus. Even though we do see Paul, especially in his kind of intro to Ephesians, where he argued persuasively. He was willing to speak up. There's no doubt about it. But the direction with which Peter is drawing us towards, is kind of highlighting for us, is that we need to have some type of response. Why do we have hope that this life is not the end? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. Why do we have hope that this life is not all there is? Because Jesus has been raised from the dead. We are not afraid or ashamed to say, you know what? My faith is built upon a mystical type of reality that this world is not all there is. This home, it is a home. It's messed up and it's jacked up. And we are waiting for our Redeemer to come and fix it. And until then, we live in the midst of this messed up, jacked up world. But why do we have hope? Jesus was raised from the dead. Period. Nothing else. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But we do it with gentleness. Do it with respect. The direction that we're going this morning are the four E's. Embrace, encourage, equip, and engage. That is the mission type of direction that we journey down through here at Church in the Falls. We embrace God. We encourage each other. To equip the church, to equip us all as we leave to go out and to engage the world in the name of Jesus. So for this first one, embracing God. God wants to be known by you and God desires to be with you. But how do you desire to be with God? How do you embrace God Monday morning at 11:30? Not Sunday morning at 10:39. One of our goals here is to embrace God together. There is no doubt about it. We do it in song. We do it in prayer. We do it in our classes. We do it in communion. We do it in time in His Word. Absolutely. Sunday mornings. But what does that look like for you on Monday mornings or Tuesday afternoons? Or Saturday afternoons when Ohio State is getting beat by somebody. Because it happens so often. I know that. It's a stretch. But how do you embrace God on a day-to-day basis? Not just here, but in here matters. In here matters. In here prepares us to go out into the world and to embrace God on an everyday basis. We gather in order to scatter. There are three passages that I want to highlight for us very, very quickly. The first one is out of Lamentations. Yes, Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. Seeking God, embracing God, those can be kind of synonyms. When we think about embracing somebody, we think about hug. I mean, nowadays, we're so super like air hugs. Fist bumps or high fives or whatever the case may be. We think about embrace as this physical type of encounter that goes on. So how do you give God a hug at Monday at 12 o'clock? You're hugging Him right now. You're hugging Him when you're singing, when you're praising, when you're praying, when you're in communion, all that stuff. How do you embrace God at Wednesday at 9:30 if you're awake? Some of our retirees, you've earned the right to sleep. Good for you. But like, how do we embrace God? How do we hug God throughout the week? An approach to prayer that I've tried to practice on over, I don't know, the last year or so is I begin a prayer with, Lord, You are good. You are so good to us. It's not for you to take and to do on your own, but it's just a way of reminding me. God, You are good. Despite my circumstances, You are good. Despite what's going on in the world, You are good, and You are so good. You are so good to us. It's a meditative practice to remind me, fill me, feed me with something good. Next passage, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 through 12. I did the yellow highlights just to draw in. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. That sounds an awful lot like mission work, right? Make known among the nations, in word and deed, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts, glory in His name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek His face always. Remember the wonders He has done, His miracles, and the judgments He pronounced. All action words here, right? All action words that draw us into how are we embracing God. And then this next passage, which can be hard to read and hard to hear in this day and age. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with a full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Just read baptism. The Hebrews author is just pouring out of a metaphor and out of language that would have been extremely understandable and knowing for the Hebrews audience at the time. But it just screams baptism. Let us hold unswervingly. We are not going to be tossed back to and fro by whatever culture or society or whatever it is. We are going to remain grounded and stand sure in Jesus and His gospel. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We live in a world where not giving up meeting together is hard. It's really, really hard. People are making decisions to stay home because they believe it's in their best interest, but they're worshiping with us online right now, or they're going to worship with us later on today by watching the YouTube worship service. But they're still committed to being with us. They're just not physically here with us. And we need to pray, and we need to be humble, and we need to love, and we need to respect, and we need to encourage those. Draws me into the second E, which is encourage, which this verse does a very nice, it's a good transition verse, like as you're sliding in to the next point. Encourage one another as the day that Jesus comes back becomes more and more real. The second one is encourage one another. One of our responsibilities to one another is to encourage each other. And one major question that we have to keep on asking each other, because we've gotten in a habit of doing the opposite of encouraging each other. How can we encourage each other when, for some, we are so busy judging each other? Masked, not masked, vaxxed, not vaxxed. Why are we judging each other? And I ask that honestly. Does anybody in here know exactly what this virus is going to do in a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, a year from now? Is anybody? For some of us who wear masks, we do it because we've got the information that we have been given, and we're doing the absolute best that we can with the information that we have to live as safely as we think we need to live. For those of us who don't wear masks versus those that do, reach a point of understanding that they're doing the absolute best with the information that they have been given to live safely and to live in this world that we're currently journeying through. Masked, non-masked. Come on, guys. Your brother or sister that is not wearing a mask does not love any less those that do. And they're not out to kill you, get you, or make you sick. And those that wear masks, for those of us who don't wear masks, they are not sheep. They don't have a Fauci type of idol in their home that they bow down to. Stop judging your brother and sister in Christ. We have got to stop it. We look more like the world when we do that, guys. Jesus has some pretty solid things to say when it comes to judging each other. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not, lest you be judged. Because of the same measure that you judge somebody else, you yourself will be judged. We need to be putting on humility as we go about throughout our day. As we journey, as we try to go through this as best we can, loving each other, respecting each other. But we are going to wear humility. And we're going to wear love. And we are going to wear compassion towards one another, not thinking about each other in an evil way, but instead we're going to extend the benefit of the doubt that he or she is doing the best they can with the information that they can, live as safely and responsibly as they know how in this world that we're navigating. Done with that rant. Second one, when it comes to encouraging one another, is be sons and daughters of encouragement. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 through 37 introduces the guy whose name is Son of Encouragement, and his name is Barnabas. Anybody know Barnabas's actual name? Joseph. Joseph is Barnabas's actual name. The apostle gave Joseph the name Barnabas because he was such an encourager. Like, his character reflected so much. He's like, now you're not Joseph, you're Barnabas. He's like, okay, I'll take that and I'll run with it. We need to pursue after being sons and daughters of encouragement. We need to be a family anyone can belong to, filled with sons and daughters of encouragement. Next one that I want to draw our attention to is Romans 15, verses 4 through 6, and the passages will be on the screen. For everything that was written in the past, talking about the First Testament, was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. So the Bible is doing something. It lasts throughout all time. There is some endurance. It's not going to run out of breath. It's not going to run out of steam. It's going to keep on going. The endurance of the Scriptures is going to keep on providing encouragement so that we might have hope. And then we have this prayer. May the God who gives endurance, may the God who gifts us with endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So within the First Testament, within the Bible, come both endurance and encouragement. And these are the same gifts that God gives. Endurance and encouragement. And one last verse that I want to draw us our attention to, highlighting on encourage, comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Again, another prayer. May our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us by His grace, gave us eternal encouragement. And not just hope, but a good hope. Not just any type of hope, but a good hope. Encourage your heart and strengthen you in every good deed and word. What would happen if you started praying this prayer? God, give me. God, open my eyes to how you have already given me these things. What would happen to you if you started praying this? The third one, which, as David referenced before 2022 rolled over, is going to be a single direction. A lot of what goes on in 2022 is going to be about equipping us as a church to bear witness that Jesus is Lord. We're going to know Him better. We're going to make Him known by providing a lot of equipping things for us to take on and for us to work through. There's one major passage that kind of draws this in, Ephesians 4, verse 12. All of the positions, all of the gifts, all of the talents, all of the passions that come before this in verse 11, 10, 11, 9, kind of direct, all of these are for a purpose. To equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So daily and weekly, we are equipping. You're equipping yourself at home by some of the daily practices that you are going to commit to and then follow through on. And then weekly, we are committing to equipping each other to go out and to continue equipping ourselves daily for love and good works as we grow and mature in our faith in Jesus. We are equipping one another for a purpose. What type of person am I becoming? Because I give my eyes, my ears, my heart, our attention towards whatever it is. In other words, how are you forming yourself on a daily basis? What do you practice on a daily basis that equips you, that is transforming you, that does something to you? What do you focus your attention on? What draws you in? What do you spend downtime doing? And how is that what you're spending downtime doing equipping you? How is it shaping you? How is it forming you? Those are meaningful questions that we all have to continue to ask ourselves, to challenge ourselves with. Because that which we are pursuing, we are becoming. The types of things that we give our heart and our attention over to, those things are shaping us and they're forming. What type of person am I becoming because of these things that I feed my heart and my soul and my mind with? how am I equipping myself to know the Lord Jesus and to make Him known? These aren't trivial questions. And these also aren't Sunday morning questions. You'll notice something different about yourself when you ask yourself that question on Thursday afternoon. Like, all right, this is starting to take root in my life and in my heart. The last one, engage the world. Engaging the world is a major purpose for the whys and the whats about what we do here, individually and corporately, as a church body. All of what we do spears us and spurs us, to use language from Hebrews, spurs us to go out into the world and to make Jesus known in both word and deed. And it was foundational, it was fundamental to what it meant for God's people to always have been God's people. One specific passage is Isaiah 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. A light for the nations. So as you go out into the world, those that don't believe or those that are pre-believers, those who haven't yet had an opportunity to know what Jesus is all about, when they see you, they see light because of how different you are. Because instead of judging, you choose to love. Instead of judging, you choose to give the benefit of the doubt that that person is doing the best that they can. Instead of all the things of this world that fill our tool belts with which how to engage the world, instead we choose something different. So much so that the unbelievers, the pre-believers, those that don't yet know Jesus as Lord, look at you or look at your family and say, there's something different. I don't know what it is, but I sense there's something different about you. Why? That's what we're all hoping for. That's one of the big questions that we're all hoping that somebody that God places in our life will ask. Why? Why do you choose to respond like, well, because I have this hope. This life is not the end. Why do you have this hope that this life is not the end? Because Jesus was raised from the dead. And because of His faithfulness in God the Father who raised Him from the dead, my faith is in Him. That's why. And one of the last passages that I want to draw our attention to is Colossians 3, verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you are God's Am Segula, chosen, holy, and dearly, dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with these things as you are about to be dismissed out into the world to engage the world. Because we have embraced God together. Because we have done our absolute best to encourage one another. And we've also done our absolute best through the Spirit of God who is present and at work in this room right here, right now, to equip me and to equip you to go out and to engage the world. Clothe yourselves with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Next passage. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, go back to verse 12, Kathleen. Over all the virtues, you see these virtues? Go back to the first passage, please. As God's Am Segula people, holy and dearly loved, here are your virtues that you are to be known as. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the virtues that you display in a world where we are seeing the exact opposite. Right, church? This is what we're invited to clothe ourselves with and to go and engage the world. Okay, you can go back. I think we're on 15, I do believe. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let, allow, free yourself, open your heart and your mind up. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, we are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ, because you are spending 2022 living in the Gospels, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach, as you admonish, as you encourage one another with all wisdom through psalms and through the hymns and songs from the Spirit that we have sung together this morning, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, because we're about to leave, whatever you do, wherever you go, whatever Monday holds for you, whatever Tuesday holds for you, etc., etc., whatever you do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Right? Amen. Jared, Rise team, you guys can come on up. During this final song, as our praise band starts to get itself ready for what this final song will be, however you need to respond to this sermon, however you need to respond, period. Maybe it was nothing during the sermon that got your attention. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was communion. Maybe it was a prayer. Maybe it had nothing to do with anything and God just spoke to you because you were here. However you need to respond, if you would like prayers from your church family, I will be down here to my right, your left, ready to receive you and welcome and listen to you and your request, and we will pray for it aloud. If you are looking for a more closed, kind of personal type of prayer request, our shepherds will be in our prayer room, ready and willing to receive you and to welcome you, listen to you, and to pray with you. However we may bless you and serve you during this final song, please let it be known as together we stand, sing together.